I really want to save this story for Halloween because it sure would be a good Halloween story. This is the story of a dark and stormy night in turn-of-the-century Portland and two very, very frightened little boys who were assigned to guard a corpse during the night because they were going to be having a wake for him in the morning. My name is Finn J.D. John, and today is Tuesday, and I'm reading, as usual, a column from the archives of the weekly newspaper column that I write, which is called Offbeat Oregon History, by the way. I do this every day, every weekday, and, of course, if you already subscribed to this podcast, you already know that. So if you'd like some more information about this little daily podcast or about the newspaper column, well, stay tuned, or you can check it out at offbeatoregon.com. Anyway, today's column ran in the newspapers on August 17th, 2009, long time ago. The headline it ran under is, Early Portland Man's Wake Worked. He woke right up. And that should give you a clue as to why the boys were so frightened. Here we go. The Federal Writers Project was one of President Franklin D. Roosevelt's 1930s depression-fighting programs. The basic idea was an oral history. Writers went to various places in the country and recorded on paper the stories of particularly interesting or colorful or just plain elderly citizens. Almost 100 of these were done in Oregon. Subjects include life in the old Aurora colony, pioneer miners in Granite, Oregon life in the 1870s, topics like that. One of the Oregon stories is provocatively titled The Maddest Man in Town. Although it's not the kind of history story that, quote, changes everything, it's well worth looking up. The town in question was Portland. The maddest man was an Irishman named Donovan. The story itself is an interview by William Haight with a Portland resident named Charlie Imus, conducted in 1939 when Imus was 60 years old. It seems that in the 1890s, word came along that old Donovan had died. Donovan's widow promptly sent for a priest to come and, quote, pray him out of purgatory, and Charlie, who was the local undertaker's son, came along to help. Soon the priest arrived all the way from Vancouver and a bit put out. He set up the necessary candles at head and feet and then, quote, prayed and sprinkled water and prayed and sprinkled water some more till old man Donovan was prayed and sprayed right out of purgatory, end quote. One gets the impression that Charlie Imus was probably a Protestant, not necessarily charitably disposed towards the rituals of the Catholic Church. Moving right along. Then it was time for the wake. Charlie and his friend Bill were delegated to watch over the corpse for the night as some of Donovan's relatives and friends wailed and grieved over him, and others passed around a demijohn of something yummy and hair-raising and probably homemade in the other room. Meanwhile, Bill and Charlie were in the kitchen trying to keep watch on the body. It was a wild night. The house was sided with shakes and built nearly at the crest of a hill, and the wind howled when it hit the shakes. There was, of course, no electricity either. One imagines an old Queen Anne-style house lit only with a flickering oil lamp on a table between two wide-eyed boys. Here's a quote. The wind a-howlin' coupled with the wail of the wakers sort of discommoded Bill and me, Charlie said. Bill was plenty scared anyhow. Donovan was the first corpse he'd ever been around. So's all that howlin' had Bill a-settin' mighty uncomfortable-like in his chair and kept me kind of on the uneasy side. All of a sudden, Bill and me heard the consarnedest noise I've ever heard, he continued. Bill jumped from his chair, scared-like, and says kind of quavery-like, what's that? Sure enough, 'twarn't the wind nor the wakers, the sound was a-coming from that corpse. Side note, I hope you'll excuse my taking a little bit of liberty with the pronunciation of these words, but they are spelled exactly the way I'm pronouncing them, so I think I'm getting it right. Okay, back to our story. Charlie immediately thought it was the cat. This would be bad. A house full of bereaved relatives was depending on him and Bill to watch the corpse, and they'd gone and let the cat in? Well, it wasn't the cat. Nor was it any corpse. In the middle of his wake, old man Donovan had awakened. The wakers collected the man formerly known as the deceased and wrapped him in blankets to warm him up. Quote, pretty soon he took a pull at the demijohn hisself, Charlie recounted. And was his wife happy? Everybody was real excited. Donovan was excited, too, until the next time he tried to go to Mass. Another quote. The priest, being mighty set in his ways, wouldn't let Donovan nor his family go to church no more, Charlie said. He figured Donovan had pulled the trick of playing possum on him. And even if he hadn't, it looked like God thought the old cuss was such a sinner that he had to be sent back to Earth. Anyway, the priest said he'd prayed old Donovan out of purgatory, and now he was beyond the jurisdiction of the church. End quote. Apparently, the priest didn't think it was important to explain why Donovan's family needed to share this sort of informal excommunication with him. Donovan lived another 17 years before a speeding freight train ended his life. The whole time, Charlie said, he never stopped being mad at that priest. By the way, the complete story is available on the internet. It and others like it are well worth reading. It's at memory.loc.gov/wpaintro/orcat.html. Did you get that? Hope you write fast. No, seriously, if you want that information, the best way to do it is to just go to the text feed, which is ofor.us/t, and go to the bottom of the story, and it'll be right there in black and white. You can even click through on it if you're on your computer. Anyway, you've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column, and if you'd like more, you can read hundreds of columns from the last 4 years on our website, which is offbeatoregon.com. On the website, you can also subscribe to get these podcasts delivered straight to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes, or you can also join the conversation on the Facebook page or the Twitter feeds. All my stuff's covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. See offbeatoregon.com/cc for details. If you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something, I do too, so look me up. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.